Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. We'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through our study in the book here of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2, and we started verse number 13 last time, which says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." We left off last time looking at the idea of the Apostle Paul talking about how they were thanking God without ceasing. And we started to look at the idea of how the Apostle Paul ties in the idea of thanksgiving with God and the prayer life that he has. And we looked at, you know, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verses 17 and 18, where we see these two thoughts go together when he says, "Pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And you see how Paul says that we are to be praying, and then in everything we are to be giving God thanks. And we see how Paul is able to say that because Paul has a clear understanding of the gospel message has been given to him. He has a clear message of the information for this dispensation. And he knows, based on all of this information and everything that he knows that the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for him and for everyone else, that there's nothing that we should be doing other than to be thanking God for what has been accomplished for us. You know, we know that we have our salvation the moment we put our trust in the gospel message, in the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and putting our trust in that, and that alone is what gives us our salvation today. And we understand what has been accomplished as a result of how the law has been removed from us, that the issue of sin has been taken away, that we've already received the idea of forgiveness, that we have the guarantee of our salvation, the sealing ministry of the Holy Ghost. All of that shows how we have something that we can truly be thankful of. And we see, as Paul writes throughout his epistles, we see how over and over again, as we see the issues of prayer coming up, that thanksgiving goes along with it. We can turn back, for example, over to the very beginning of Paul's epistles. Let's go to Romans chapter number 1. And we'll see here verse number 8 as Paul is speaking here. And he says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." And then he continues on in verse 9, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." And you see how it's the first thing is to be thankful. He says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ." And this is one of those things that when we talk about the idea of prayer, that unfortunately individuals have this thought process that prayer is more of a, you know, wishing machine rather than a conversation with God that starts with the idea of thankfulness. And we are to be thankful. We can turn over to Romans chapter number 7. And we're going to see here in verse number 25 of Romans chapter number 7 when Paul says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And as he's looking at the position that he has, the only thing that he can think of when he sees this position is to say that I thank God for this. Because this is exactly what it is that he's seeing and he understands, and is to be thankful for what has been accomplished for us. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And we're going to see how Paul, just over and over in his epistles, keeps having this idea of thankfulness as he's going about his ministry. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, we'll read here verse number 4. It says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. And so you see how it says, he's thanking God on their behalf, and he's thanking God for the grace of God, for the extension of this grace that has been offered to mankind. Paul's saying, you know what? I'm going to thank God for you in a way that kind of almost makes sure that they are also doing the exact same thing. You see how he continues on with his thankfulness, and here he's talking about something very specific in his ministry in verse 14 when he says, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. And so as he's looking at his ministry and what it is that he is doing, and is he actually doing what God has laid out for him, the only thing he can say is, I thank God that this is what I have done, that I have baptized none of you except for these couple of individuals, because he has the understanding of the fact that the water baptism has been put aside in the dispensation of the grace of God. Let's go over to the book of Philippians. So we'll go to Philippians chapter number 1. And we see here again this idea of thankfulness that he has here. We're going to read verses 3 and 4 of Philippians chapter number 1. It says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. Now, you see how as he's talking about these members of the assembly in Philippi, that he's looking at them, he has a joy about them. You know, there's a joy that we're supposed to have for the members of the body of Christ. But we see how, again, this idea of prayer and thanksgiving keeps getting brought up over and over again in Paul's epistles as he's talking about praying for them. And our prayer life should not be just for ourselves. Our prayer life should be geared towards other people as we are displaying this thankfulness that God intends for us to be showing. Let's go over to 2 Thessalonians now. And we're going to chapter number 1 here in 2 Thessalonians. And we're going to read here verse number 3. It says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. And here's Paul saying, you know, I'm thankful, and he's describing how there was a thankfulness because they were displaying the doctrine in their lives. Now, the verse that we're looking at, we are going to see how Paul talks about that they accepted what he was saying as the word of God, as doctrine that was being given to them. And as they were accepting this as the doctrine, They were applying it to their lives and allowing it to be shown in how it was that they were living their life. And Paul's saying, you know what, I'm thankful for this. And he's thankful because he can then hold them up as that example for the members of the body of Christ, so that we can see how it is that we should be living our lives if we're allowing the doctrine to be applied in that exact same manner that these saints here in Thessalonica were actually having happen with them. Let's go over to the book of 1 Timothy. We're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. As we continue looking at this idea of the Apostle Paul talking about the thankfulness that he had as a result of things going on in his ministry. And here in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, where I read here verse number 12, it says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." And then he's going to describe all these things about who he was. But you see how he thanks God. He thanks the Lord Jesus Christ for this opportunity that he has to be a minister, to be carrying out the word of God rightly divided. Now let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And we'll see again Paul using this term here of the thankfulness that he has. And here in 2 Timothy chapter number 1, let's read here verse number 3. It says, "I thank God, whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day." And here he is talking specifically about Timothy and talking about the thankfulness that he has and it being tied in with that prayer life that he has for Timothy. Let's go over to the book of Philemon. And we'll see here again this idea being laid out here. And again, an example of it being laid out for a very particular person here. And in Philemon, we're going to read here verse number 4. It says, "I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers." And this is an individual that he calls, you know, dearly beloved, a fellow laborer, you know, that he also is having to call out for, you know, these are things that I know you haven't done right, but here's how you can exhibit the grace that God has laid out towards us. This is how you can display that in your dealings with Onesimus. But he's still, even before he gets into that piece, he's thanking God for him. He's talking about how he's making mention of him in his prayers. And I want to go back here to the book of Philippians here. Let's go to Philippians chapter number 4, to where we'll see the Apostle Paul lay out this piece of information related to prayer that is a struggle for some individuals when you see how Paul lays this out here. We're going to read verses 6 and 7 here, and it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So as he's laying this out, you know, he starts out this idea, be careful for nothing. You know, in wording that we would use, we would talk about things of, you know, telling someone to not worry about something. You know, that's what that idea of be careful for nothing is. You know, to not have all sorts of worry about things, because, you know, we don't have to worry about it, because it says, "In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Now, there are some individuals that will talk about how the prayer life of a believer really is to be revolving around just things of spiritual things and not to have any sort of physical influence on anything. And Paul's saying, you know, there's no restriction here. He just says, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So no matter what the situation is, whether it's something that's good, whether it's something that's bad, if there's prayer that's accompanied by thanksgiving, the request is to be made known unto God. You know, it's to be laid out in that prayer with thanksgiving, and the result of it is going to be what verse 7 talks about and says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is why Paul can say to be careful for nothing, that we're not to have this worry about things, because it's the peace of God that's going to keep us. It's, you know, what God is going to provide to us through what His Word says for us in this dispensation that's going to keep our hearts and minds, so that way we don't have this worry. We don't have to have any sort of anxiety about things, because the peace of God is going to get us through whatever the situation actually is. And that's why we are to have this idea of thankfulness that's going to come about in our lives if we're functioning in the manner that God truly intends. Now, I want to go back over here to Romans chapter number 1, because Paul is going to lay something out here in Romans chapter number 1 that talks about what happens when individuals start lacking the thankfulness that they're supposed to have. Because Paul deals with this, gives us that example here to say, this is what happens when that's no longer there. We see here in Romans chapter number 1, I'm going to start here at verse number 18. And it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. And we see how Paul talks about this idea of that there's individuals that are going against all the things that God has laid out. And that it takes it back to so far that they start to deny that there's even a God, which all the evidence, and Paul lays it out how that the evidence goes all the way back, the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. All of the things of the creation point out that there are the things that show that there is a God, and there's a God who created everything, and that we should be thankful for what has been done. And you see how these individuals that start to deny God that as they're denying him, they're glorifying him not as God. And when they're glorifying him not as God, there's a lack of thankfulness that results from it. And that lack of thankfulness then results in the thing of they became vain in their imagination. So the vain is emptiness. So there's an emptiness in the thought process that they have. Their foolish heart is darkened. And all of these things start to happen because the light that comes from the Word of God cannot have an impact on them. Their thought process is empty because everything that's in them, none of it's of God. Everything is of the things of this world. It's all from man's wisdom. Man's wisdom can't compare to the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God, which comes from the Word of God, is what all individuals need. Every individual who is saved, you know, God's will is that all men would be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. God wants us to grow. God wants us to have an understanding of His Word. God wants us to increase in wisdom so that way we are not being conformed to the, you know, the world, that we're being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And as those things are occurring, the result of it is going to be that we are going to be thankful for everything that has been done for us. We're going to be thankful for what the Word of God actually says. And when you actually see individuals who really understand what the Word of God actually says for them, you see how it is that they are thankful sometimes in situations that you would think there's no way they should be thankful, but they can be because they have an understanding of what God's Word says. They have an understanding of what God has accomplished for them. They have an understanding of all the promises that are guaranteed for us. And this is why, as Paul is looking at this assembly in Thessalonica, and he is holding them up as this example thing, he can say he is truly thankful for them because he sees individuals who are doing exactly what it is that they're supposed to be doing. Now, the unfortunate thing for this assembly is that when he's writing these epistles to them, they are doing those things. They are doing it right. When he's in prison writing his last epistle, when he's writing 2 Timothy, and let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 4, because we're going to see how quickly this can really change for individuals who are this pattern, who are doing all the right things. When we read here in 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 10, when it says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia," that we see this issue of Paul calling out Demas, this individual who must have been a faithful individual that Timothy knew, and saying that Demas has forsaken Paul. By forsaking Paul, that means that he's forsaken the message of the dispensation of the grace of God. And as a result of doing that, he's loved this present world. And by loving this present world, he would be departing unto a place where this present world would be functioning. And he goes unto Thessalonica. He goes to this assembly that the Apostle Paul is holding up. So even though he's thankful for them at one point, and they were thankful for what was going on, at some point, this is no longer the case. And this is something that, you know, all of us, as the members of the body of Christ, really need to be watchful for ourselves, because at any moment, you know, we could walk away from the truth of God's word rightly divided. We could go away from the things of what God intends for us to be doing, and instead of being pleasing to God, we're no longer functioning in that manner. And as we're no longer functioning in that manner, we start getting farther and farther away from truly being thankful for what God has done for us. And we're going to stop here. We're going to pick up looking at, you know, verse number 13 in our next episode. And as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to watch our services live on Facebook as they are happening on Sunday mornings. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you ever have any questions, comments about anything in these broadcasts, anything that you hear in any of our other messages, or anything that you read on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.